with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to take you out to Jack's house. He's just finishing dressing.
There, I'm almost through. Get me my shirt, Rochester.
Yes, sir. Do you want that solid gold cufflink you got from Mr. Ronald Coleman last Christmas?
Wait a minute, Rochester. Mr. Coleman only gave me one cufflink?
He didn't give it to you. He swung at you and it fell out of his shirt.
Oh, yes. If Benita hadn't grabbed him, I'd have had him both. Rochester, get my other cufflinks out of the bureau.
Yes, sir. What drawer do you keep them in, boss?
Well, you ought to know. You put them away most of the time.
Yeah, but you keep putting all kinds of junk in your dresser. Well, let's try this top drawer. Nope. There's just socks in here, a couple of handkerchiefs, and what's this?
Let me see that. Oh, for heaven's sake. I forgot to return it when I left New York. It's the key to my room at the Acme Plaza. I don't know why they gave me a key. My room didn't have a door on it. No wonder they call it New York's friendliest hotel. Now, see if you can find those cufflinks.
Okay, I'll try this door here. No, nothing but shirts here. Nothing in this drawer but underwear.
Hey, maybe I threw those cufflinks in with my underwear.
I'll flip the flap and see.
Well, hurry up and find them. Miss Livingston's waiting in the den for me. She's going to drive me to the studio for my TV show.
Oh, they weren't in there. I'll try the bottom drawer.
Oh, Mary, will you answer the phone, please?
Yes, Jack. Hello?
Well, I was expecting a shrimp boat and I got the dream boat.
Is that you, Phil?
This ain't no phone call from a stranger. Hey, by the way, Libby, Alice and me had a couple of people over at the house Friday night and we called you, but you were out.
I know. Jack took me to the movies.
Jackson took you to the movies?
Uh-huh.
Passes Dutch or do we have an item for Ripley?
No, no, Phil. He really took me. Do you want to talk to Jack?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here he comes now.
Who is it, Mary?
Remley Straight Man.
Oh, I'll talk to him. Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. How you feeling?
Oh, I'm all right, Phil. I guess I'm a little nervous about my television show tonight.
Well, why don't you do what I do to calm down?
What's that?
I have two of my musicians go around with me, and every time I feel a little nervous, one of them gives me a drink of bourbon.
Oh. What's the other guy for?
He's there to make me nervous.
Oh, stop. What did you call for?
Hey, look, Jackson, I've been thinking of making some changes in my band.
Well, good. Good.
Now, you know, it's good. Good. You don't even know what I want to do.
Phil, any change you make in your orchestra, even if it's only their socks and shirts, will be an improvement. You want to know something, Phil? Your musicians could play five numbers and still stump the experts on What's My Line. Now, what is it you want to do with your band?
Well, for the past few years, Bagby, my piano player, has been on the left side of my orchestra.
Uh-huh.
And I've been thinking of moving him over to the right side.
Why?
Because that's where the piano is.
Well, try it, Phil. It may not sound good, but it'll look better. Anything else, Phil?
No, so long, Jackson.
Goodbye. Goodbye. You know, Mary, I can't understand it. I took you to the movies. Everybody's making a big thing out of it.
I can't understand it either. We're walking down the street. You found a $5 bill, and you certainly could do what you want with it.
Of course. Everybody has...
Excuse me, Mr. Billing.
What is it, Rochester?
Mr. Wilson's at the back door, and he wants to see you.
Don Wilson at the back door? Excuse me a minute, Mary. What can that... What can he want at the back door? It's funny of all places, Don. Come in from... Don!
Hello, Jack.
For heaven's sake, why... Why did you come to the back door?
Well, Jack, all the way over here, I've even walked through the alleys. I don't want people to see me.
But why?
Because today we do another television show, and I just can't help feeling ashamed and upset about the mistake I made on your last one.
But, Don, that was 6 weeks ago.
I know, but how could I ever have said be lucky, go happy, instead of be happy, go lucky? It was so humiliating.
Look, Don.
I felt so ashamed, I went home and sobbed for hours.
I know, Don, but...
I just couldn't stop the tears. What an embarrassing thing to happen to a man of my dignity.
Look, Don. Don. Little fat crowd that cried. I bet I got one of the biggest laughs tonight. Now stop worrying about it. Don, I'm sure you won't make that mistake again.
Jack, what did Don want?
Well, he's still worried about the mistake.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny.
Dennis, I didn't know you were here.
I just came over to wish you luck on your TV show.
Oh, thanks, kid.
Are you going to have any guest stars?
Yes, I'm going to have Burns and Allen.
Say, that ought to be funny. He's my favorite comedian.
George Burns?
Oh, Fred Allen.
Look, Dennis, I'm talking about Gracie Allen, not Fred, Gracie Allen. That's George Burns' wife.
Oh, say, Mr. Benny, I just thought of something.
What?
I wish you'd get married.
You do? Why?
I'd like to hit you with an old shoe.
Dennis, leave me alone, will you? Leave me alone!
Jack, don't upset yourself. Why don't you ignore him?
Yeah, ignore me.
Dennis, let me ask you something. What's come over you lately?
Why, what do you mean?
Well, for a couple of years up to last June, you were acting pretty fresh. Since then, you've been very nice and polite. Just lately, you started in acting smart, Alan.
What happened? I've got two shows again.
I know, but you've still got a job to do on my show. Let me hear the song you're going to sing, will you?
Okay.
Clancy was a peaceful man, if you know what I mean. The cops picked up the pieces after Clancy left the scene. He never looked for trouble, that's a fact you can assume. But nevertheless, when trouble would press, Clancy lowered the boom. Oh, that Clancy! Oh, that Clancy! Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom. Boom, 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 boom. O'Leary was a fighting man, they all knew he was tough. He strutted round the neighborhood to shooting off his gun. He picked a fight with Clancy, then and there he sealed his doom. Before you could shout, "Oh, Larry, look out!" Clancy lowered the boom. Oh, that Clancy! Oh, that Clancy! Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
Now Clancy left the barbershop with tonic on his hair. He walked into the pool room and he met O'Reilly there. O'Reilly said, "For goodness sakes, now do I smell perfume?" Before you could stack your cue in the rack, Clancy lowered the boom. Oh, that Clancy! Oh, that Clancy! Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
The neighbors all turned out for Kate O'Grady's wedding night. McDougal said, "Let's have some fun. I think I'll start a fight." He wrecked the hall, then kissed the bride and pulverized the groom. Then quick as a wink, before you could think, Clancy lowered the boom. Oh, that Clancy! Oh, that Clancy! Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom. Oh, that Clancy! Oh, that Clancy! Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
Sure, it was the greatest fight you ever did see when Clancy lowered the boom there.
Dennis? Gladys, that song is still wonderful, and there's nothing I would like more than to hear you sing another one. But I'm afraid I'll have to say goodbye.
Why, are you leaving?
No, you are. Goodbye.
Jack, you didn't have to push him.
Mary, sometimes that kid drives me nuts.
But look, Jack, don't pay any attention to him.
Look, how can I help it? Last Monday, I was awakened out of a sound sleep by the telephone. When I answered it, it was Dennis. He wanted to know what time it was. I said, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, well, this is no time to call anybody, and hung up. You tell me not to pay any attention to him.
Well, Jack, forget about it. You always get yourself all worked up.
I know, but I got a TV show to do tonight. He has to come in and make me nervous.
Look, Jack, he's gone now, so why don't you go to your room and take a nap? I'll wake you up when you have to go to the studio.
Okay, Mary. What'll you do?
Oh, I'll stay here in the library and read a book.
Okay. But don't let me sleep too long, will you?
Oh, I won't. Go ahead, Jack. Gee, Jack is certainly on edge today. Well, maybe the nap will do him good. Let's see, what book can I read? Oh, gosh, Jack has a lot of them. Let's see. Oh, here's one. How to Make Money Raising Soybeans. Oh, here's another one. How to Make Money Selling Homemade Blintzes. Here's another one. How to Make Money Trapping Lizards. What's this? How to Spend Money and Enjoy It. I'll bet that little gem never saw the light of day. Oh, here's one I've never seen before. My Career as a Hospital Nurse. I think I'll read this. My Career as a Hospital Nurse, Chapter 1. I am one of the legion of women who have been called Angels of Mercy. I am a nurse. My name is Aura. Aura Meissen. I worked at the admittance desk of the city hospital. And, like all nurses, I had a boyfriend, a young intern named Dr. Harris. My story begins about a year ago. It was a quiet day in the hospital.
Dr. Jones wanted in maternity. Dr. Jones wanted in maternity.
Hello, Aura.
Hello, Dr. Harris.
Would you do me a favor? Please send my stethoscope out and have it fixed.
Well, certainly. What's wrong with it?
I don't know. I keep hearing Guy Lombardo.
I'll take care of it for you, Doctor.
Thank you. And by the way, Aura, would you mind if we postponed our date for the movies until tomorrow?
No, not at all. But why?
Well, I'm terribly tired. I was up all night in the emergency ward treating a bunch of drunks.
Really?
Yes. Oh, why must people drink like that?
It is a shame.
Dr. Jones wanted in maternity. Dr. Jones, report to maternity immediately.
By the way, Dr. Harris, how is your patient in room 312?
He died.
Oh. Well, how about your patient in 419?
He died.
And what about the case you had in Ward 5?
Yep. Well, you'll have to excuse me now, Aura. I'm late.
For what?
I'm taking a course in embalming.
Dr. Jones, hurry to maternity. Dr. Jones, please hurry. Dr. Jones, please. Dr. Jones, you're a slowpoke.
Harris left, and even though he hadn't told me, I knew the real reason he hadn't taken me to the movies. He was spending his evenings doing research with a left-handed guitar player. Later that afternoon, I was still at the admittance desk when something happened
that was to change the course of my whole life. He walked in.
Excuse me, nurse.
Yes, sir?
My family doctor sent me here for a consultation with your famous specialist, Dr. Heinrich von Schmierkäse.
Very well, sir. I'll have to fill out this admittance card. Your name?
My name is James.
What's your last name?
James. My name is James James.
Where were you born?
Pango Pango.
Where do you live now?
Walla Walla.
What disease do you have?
Beriberi.
And what is your occupation?
I'm an announcer on Double or Nothing.
I see. Now, how tall are you?
5'11".
Your weight?
158.
Color of eyes? Oh, they're blue, aren't they?
Bluer than the thumb of an Eskimo hitchhiker.
Now, have you been to any other specialists?
I've been to hundreds of them, but they never help me. I feel terrible.
Well, what are your symptoms?
I hear music, and there's no one there. I smell blossoms, and the trees are bare. And don't tell me I'm in love. I'm sick as a dog.
Oh. Now, just a moment while I fill this out.
Dr. Smith is wanted in the operating room. Dr. Mason is wanted in the consultation room. Dr. Ross is wanted in the kennel. Fido knows best. Woof!
Very well, Mr. James. You may see Dr. von Schmierkäse now, right through that door.
Thank you.
And you consider yourself fortunate. Dr. von Schmierkäse is the world's greatest specialist and diagnostician.
I know. I'll go in and see him. Gee, what a big office. Oh, that must be Dr. von Schmierkäse over there in the corner. Must be getting to operate. He's putting on rubber gloves. Excuse me. I'm Mr. James, and I have beriberi. Please tell me. Please. Please. What should I do?
I don't know.
Will you have to operate?
I don't know.
Will I live?
I don't know.
You don't know anything. What kind of a doctor are you?
I ain't no doctor.
Then why are you wearing those rubber gloves?
I don't want to leave fingerprints. I'm robbing the joint.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry. Where can I hear a case?
I don't know.
Oh, never mind. I'll go find him myself. Ah, here's his office, Dr. Heinrich von Schmierkäse. Excuse me, Dr. von Schmierkäse. I'm Mr. James.
Ach, du liebe, wie geht's, Landsmann? Was ist los? Was ist los?
Well, doctor, I...
Don't worry. First, please, the examination. Stick out, please, the tongue.
There.
Now, close, please, the eye.
There.
Good. Now lift, please, the left foot off the floor and hold it up.
Okay.
Fine. Now lift the right foot off the floor, too.
Okay.
Ooh. Ach, just as I taught Digi spells.
But, doctor...
I'm afraid we will have to operate.
Operate? What are you going to take out?
Oh, don't worry. We'll think of something. We will operate early tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Why so early?
Incision before dawn. Oh, Dr. von Schmierkäse, you may not be a sharp at this, but you sure get corny. Now, don't worry, Mr. James. We got...
You rang for me, doctor?
Oh, yes. Have Dr. Harris prepare this man for surgery, and I will want you to assist me in the operation.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
As I prepared the patient for surgery, I noticed that he had his will tattooed on his chest. I was amazed when I read it. He left everything to himself. We were practically ready for the operation when the patient began to get restless.
Nurse, where's Dr. Von Schmierkäse?
He'll be here in just a minute. Dr. Harris and I'll get you ready for him.
Oh, nurse, hand me the anesthetic.
Anesthetic.
Cotton.
Cotton.
Sponge.
Sponge.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Chaser.
What's going on here?
Quiet. Here comes Dr. Von Schmierkäse.
Hi-ho, it's off to work I go. Well, how's my little patient?
I'm nervous, doctor.
Oh, don't worry. Now I'll start. First, nurse, hand me, please, the iodine. I'll have to paint your stomach.
What are you painting on my stomach?
A smile. This operation is being televised.
That's very funny.
If you knew what a lousy doctor I was, you wouldn't be laughing. Now we will the operation commence. Nurse, hold the ether to his nose.
Well, I'm sorry, we have no ether.
Well, tighten his necktie.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's enough. He's starting to look like Eddie Cantor. Now I will operate. Now, all you interns, watch carefully so you will learn something. And please, no applause till the nurse holds up the card. Now I take the scalpel and make the first incision. There. Now, before I make the second incision, I would like to say a few words on behalf of my sponsor. My sponsor is the author and publisher of a book called How to Avoid Paying Income Tax. The price of this book is $200. For this money, we not only include a copy of the book, but we also send you fruit every visiting day. Now, back to the operation. I will make the second incision. There we are.
For heaven's sake, Doctor, I've never seen such a tremendous incision.
Yeah, and it's got me worried.
Why?
Where will we ever find a Band-Aid that long? Oh, well, I'll worry about that later.
Dr. Smith, come to the office and bring your bag. Dr. McDermott, come to the office and bring your bag. Dr. Wagner, come to the office and bring your bag. Train leaving on track 12 for Diana, Azusa, and Goop. Come on.
Even though all the doctors had gone to the great festival, the operation was a success, and I sat by the patient till he recovered consciousness. When he did, he turned to me tenderly and said,
"For heaven's sake, Mary, you let me sleep so long, I'll be late for my television show."
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. I got so absorbed in this book.
Well, what am I going to do? Here we are in Beverly Hills. My TV program goes on in just 2 minutes.
Well, don't worry, Jack. Come on, we'll make it. Let's go. Well, here we are at CBS.
It's amazing what you can do with sound effects, isn't it? Come on, Mary, let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, in about 1 minute from now, I will be doing my fourth television show of this season. I'm happy to say that on tonight's TV program, I'm having as my guests George Burns and Gracie Allen. In the profession, this is what we call a reciprocal agreement. You see, they come on my program this week, and all next month, I do their laundry. But I'll be seeing you. Good night, folks.
Don Wilson speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.